Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We've got our take cannons loaded and ready. Absolutely dominant on deep routes, absolutely dominant on short routes.
The boys are back, baby.
Excellent separation against man coverage.
This is Reception, Reception, the show.
Yo, what's cracking, everybody? James Goh, Matt Harmon here with you. You're listening to Reception, Perception, the show. Matt, how are you doing today, pal?
Doing good, man. We're in full off-season mode. You know, we had the combine over the weekend.
That was exciting.
Yeah. That was exciting. A lot of interesting performances coming out of that. You know, we've got franchise tag deadlines, free agent news. I've got free agent profiles up on the website. Even started charting our first rookie for the 2023 NFL draft wide receiver crop. So full-blown off-season mode, man. A lot going on.
Watch out. We've obviously got a lot on the table here, but I think the big news, at least in our world anyways, is that Matt Harmon did a data drop for all of our Reception Perception subscribers. If you guys are not familiar with his work, well, listen, you got to go to the website, receptionperception.com.
How did you get here?
A little something called it's a little something called Fee Drops, Matt. Our partners over at Odyssey do an amazing job. Shout out to Odyssey for doing an amazing job getting our stuff out to various markets that maybe again, new to your product. But anyways, a data drop on the website. That's like, it's a little bit like early Christmas, honestly, man. I love going through that, finding all the data, and we're going to be digging into some of the stuff that you found. We're going to talk about Calvin Ridley, Chris Olave, Michael Thomas. We're going to do a whole Saints breakdown here, okay? Talk about the best free agent, wide receiver, in many people's opinions, on the market in Jakobi Meyers. And DJ Chark will most likely also be a free agent. What does he bring to the table? And maybe what does he not bring to the table? Some surprising findings in regards to DJ Chark. But honestly, today, Matt, I think was a little bit of a, I don't know, man. It was like a QB mayhem. You know, Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, Derek Carr, Lamar Jackson, Tom Brady. What? Come on now. A lot of quarterback news circulating out there. We'll start with just some of the details in regards to Geno Smith and Daniel Jones. But 3 years, 105 for Geno Smith, more like a 2 year, 60 kind of deal for Geno. But Derek Carr got 4 years and 150. Again, who knows? It's more of like a 2 or 3 year deal. Daniel Jones, a 4 year, 160. So he ended up, his representatives ended up working the Giants over, I think, a little bit. They wanted 40 a year and they got it. I don't know how much of that is backloaded, how much of it is front loaded, but at least on paper, the agents got what they wanted to get, which is a $40 million a year average annual salary for Daniel Jones. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, this one's an interesting one, Matt. The Baltimore Ravens playing a little gamesmanship, I think, with their quarterback in Lamar Jackson. They put a non-exclusive franchise tag on Lamar, meaning any team, he can go and negotiate with any team, Matt Harmon. And if the team and Lamar reach an agreement, Baltimore has the rights to either match, or if they don't match, they would get 2 first-round picks back. That, if you ask me, severely handicaps the negotiating process, right? Because a team not only would have to commit big money to Lamar Jackson, but then also commit 2 first-round draft picks as well. That's a steep price to pay.
Yeah, but like in the grand scheme of things, you know, Lamar getting traded for two first round picks is like kind of a steal. You know, like I think look at what Russell Wilson fetched last year. And Russell Wilson was in his 30s. Obviously, we know what happened with Russ, but even think about before that, you know, Russ was in his 30s. He never won an MVP. Lamar Jackson has won an MVP. So I think if like in an all things equal universe, like Lamar Jackson is worth more in a trade than just two first round picks. But the interesting part of this is that as soon as they hit Lamar with the non-exclusive franchise tag, which,
right,
as you said, then frees him up to go and negotiate with, like, get an offer from another team. By the way, apparently it's been an annoying and frustrating process. And by the way, I am not here to, like, cape up for big agent. I'm not, you know, these, like, sites that are, you know, the biggest problem here is Lamar doesn't have an agent. If he had an agent, none of this would be happening. Like, because I don't talk to agents. I'm not a source guy. I'm not beholden to agents. I don't care. I'm not saying because of that. But everybody has said that it's been a frustrating process to negotiate with Lamar Jackson, because it's not like – when you have an agent, your agent goes back and forth with the team. There's no like personal, you get hard feelings with the player. And, you know, I've also heard other insiders have said that, like, you know, Lamar is a little bit more like Jeff Zrebeck. I was listening to him talk about this. He covers the Ravens for The Athletic, has covered the team for a long time. He's just not like he just kind of marches to the beat of his own drum, basically, in terms of the whole negotiation process. So it'd be a little tough, by the way, for Lamar to then go negotiate with all these other teams if he's this tough to negotiate with his own team. But be that as it may, as soon as all this stuff like breaks that he's going to get the non-exclusive franchise tag, all of these teams immediately leaked that they're not interested.
Yeah. Right.
Like, I think the Panthers, the Falcons, the freaking Panthers have been linked to every reasonable starting level quarterback
they're not interested. Come on, bro.
But they're not interested in Lamar Jackson. The Dolphins, they were leaked. The Commanders, the Raiders.
Yeah.
This all comes back to the guaranteed contract, James, does it not? And you know, like what the Browns did with Deshaun Watson. And I mean, Steve Bisciotti himself, the Ravens owner, was one of the most publicly frustrated owners about that, knowing that he had Lamar's deal coming up on the deck. It kind of feels like all the owners are sort of like, you could say, colluding to basically push back on this entire idea that guaranteed contracts for quarterbacks is not going to be a thing.
Well, I think it's I think there's definitely some, and again, people don't want to hear collusion, okay, but I think it's at least on the table, because again, as you mentioned, if he was working with an agent, and again, I'm not a big fan of agency either. But it's just like, look, if he was working with a big time agent, that agent's got some pull, right? And it says, hey, if you guys are going to pull this shady stuff, well, I mean, when my other clients' contracts come up, we may want to play a little bit more hardball, you know, like there's a little bit more leverage when we're talking about big time agents and big time agencies. If they were representing Lamar, it's a little bit easier, I think, for these teams to basically have these, you know, backdoor deals with each other saying, well, I don't want to give a fully guaranteed contract. Do you want to give a fully guaranteed? Because I don't want to give it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit easier for these teams to do that because Lamar's only representing himself and the trickle-down effect is not very severe. That being said, Matt, I would love to see him go to Miami. I mean, can you just think about the speed? Oh my gosh. Think about the speed with Lamar Jackson, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle just running around. Are you kidding me? That would be so fun.
Now the Dolphins don't have a first round pick this year because it was forfeited in the whole collusion, thing from last year with Brady and Sean Payton and all that stuff. So they can't match. They can't give him an offer that then would forfeit two first round picks. They could do it after the draft though, because it has to be a first round pick from the next two drafts basically. So if they did it after the draft, if like Lamar leaves this franchise tag unsigned, whatever, and kicks this down the road, and theoretically that could happen, right?
Oh, for sure.
But the Dolphins are one of the few teams that can afford him, and I think this is the thing that is going to get lost. And you know, I'm not here to raise your sympathy levels for billionaire NFL owners or anything like that, and the lack of cash that they may have. But I think what a lot of fans forget is this is not about like the salary cap. This is not about like fitting him onto your football books. Like the actual owner has to have the cash to be able to put in escrow to give these guys guaranteed deals. Jimmy Haslam, you know, of the Browns is absurdly rich. You know, like he can put $230 million guaranteed, can put all of that money into an account that is going to go to Deshaun Watson no matter what. How many other NFL owners, James, actually have like $230+ million? Now it'd be more than $230 million if he wants the Deshaun deal. Plus, how many NFL owners can, I mean, because the Raiders, like, they were immediately ruled out because we know the Raiders can't afford that. Mark Davis can't afford that. But like, I mean, David Tepper, Panthers, probably could afford it. Stephen Ross, Miami, maybe could afford it. But like, I think it's interesting that I think what a lot of these owners are worried about, and again, it sounds stupid because these guys are worth so much money, but like that certain teams are just going to get completely priced out of high-end quarter. Like Mike Brown, the Bengals, they have to, I mean, you know, the Bengals aren't one of the most wealthiest teams ever. They got to be like, you know, pissing their pants that if this whole guaranteed contract thing becomes the norm, they got Burrow and they got Chase and they got Higgins coming up. I mean, Mike Brown, he's going to be having to work a night shift at the Taco Bell down the street, or take a, he's gonna have to get his kids to be Uber drivers or something to put a little extra into escrow.
That's it.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Oh my God, I can't believe we're getting to the financials here. But no, listen, a lot of these guys are super wealthy and rich, and obviously they're billionaires, but it's like, it's kind of like being like house rich and cash poor. You know what I mean? Like a lot of their value is tied up into their franchises. I mean, David Tepper's an exception. You know, there are certain guys that are exceptions, you know, but Tepper's individually wealthy, right? But you're right. In terms of the signing bonuses, the actual guaranteed amounts, the guaranteed amounts needs to be put in escrow, right? Because again, it's guaranteed, right? So it's not, but you would think, and obviously a quarterback's guaranteed amount uses up a lot of the guaranteed money that is being laid out in escrow, but it's not all of it, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I find it difficult to believe that if, for example, like Lamar wanted $250 million guaranteed. Like, I find it really difficult to believe that these guys would not be able to pony up and put that away. It would hurt them in other areas, and they would not be able to then guarantee a lot of other contracts. I understand that. Yeah. But again, if you're getting Lamar and you're a quarterback away, I think the Dolphins are a quarterback away. I mean, you know, what are we really talking about here? You know, so I don't know. It's fascinating. The things
gotta
that
sell
happen.
A few of your yachts and your rental properties and your various other things to get some cash instead of just assets.
Come on, bro. Come on, man. Like, let's free up some cash. It's all good. You know, golly, I got to pay some taxes. I got to free up some cash. You know, it's like, come on. This is the game that we play here. All right.
This is golly. It. NFL owners just like us.
Just like, no, not at all. But yeah, no, again, I'd love to see, you know, all money aside, I'd love to see Lamar Jackson end up in Miami just because I think it'd be so fun and what an absolute nightmare it would be. Can you imagine what the coaching staff, like how much fun they would have just conceptualizing plays with Lamar, Cheetah, and Jalen Waddle? Like, oh my God, that'd be a lot of fun. Meanwhile, even though they got banged and with collusion, Miami linked with Tom Brady as well, with the latest Tom Brady rumors, Tom Brady talking about, you don't know how much time a baby cat is using in my life. And Rich Eisen going on his show saying he's heard some rumors. And you know, to be honest with you, it does. Hey, listen, it does add up, doesn't it? I mean, Tom Brady finding himself two great receivers in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I mean, that kind of stuff does line up a little bit if Tom Brady does want to return.
I mean, enough already with Tom Brady. Come on. I don't need to see Tom Brady, who, you know, I just put up Mike Evans' reception perception profile on the site because the free agent class is so boring. I've been putting guys up who might get traded. You know, I don't know that Evans is necessarily going to get traded, but, you know, I decided to do him and just, he might just in case, you know, guys like DeAndre Hopkins up there as well. But, Brandon Cook's coming later. I don't need to see, you know, Tom Brady getting rid of the ball in 2 seconds, before Tyreek Hill's like fully out of his, out on his go route. You know, I saw enough of that with Mike Evans last year. Now I know two different kinds of players. I get that, but, the Tom Brady stuff, man, come on. I mean, it'd just be hilarious if the Dolphins, you know, they get in trouble for colluding and they actually end up with Brady. That would be that would be pretty ridiculous. The Lamar thing is really fascinating too. I mean, if you're right, if he was there, that would be, I mean, just the complete opposite of Brady, obviously, because of the mobility. And it just, look at what the Eagles put teams in a bind last year with, like, if you have a great run, like, we have a great run game, but you can't put, an eighth man in the box because we have two great wide receivers. Oh, by the way, our quarterback is mobile too. So if you really focus on the run game or you focus on these receivers, you're not getting a guy out that's going to spy the quarterback. He can tread you. Obviously, the Dolphins would then present that with Lamar Jackson. But yeah, man, I mean, the Brady stuff, he looks like he's got both of his cheeks scooped out of his face. I love Brady. I love what he's brought to the game, but I've seen enough. I've seen it, especially after going back and watching the Bucs film last year. I know it's not all Tom Brady's fault, but, like, yeah, he can come back and be the 15th best quarterback in the league. I know that Tua's got concussion concerns and all that. I mean, Tua can be he was more than the 15th best quarterback in the league last year when he was playing. I get that they're probably, you know, in looking for alternatives. You're scrunching your face over there on the other side of it. But I mean, Tua can be the 15th best quarterback in the league.
He could. I mean, he could. I mean, that's, well, I think that's his,
when he played last year, he was better than the 15th best quarterback. I mean, he was like the most efficient quarterback in the league.
No, I know everyone points to the numbers and say, oh, look at the numbers that he put up. Like, bro, like there's a dozen quarterbacks in the NFL that would have put up better numbers than what Tua put up. You can't just look at that and say, not Skylar Thompson. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was close, though. No one's thinking Teddy Bridgewater is top 30 quarterback. I mean, come on. You know, you can point to all the numbers you want. Just watch the games. You cannot possibly tell me that Tua was a top 15 quarterback. It's just he underthrew damn near every ball. He was late on damn near every throw, but these guys were just unbelievable, you know, in terms of, we're talking about the two receivers there they got in South Beach, man. So I don't know. I'm firmly of the thought that I think Tua can be a fine pro. I'm not saying he's the worst quarterback in the league. That's certainly not what I'm saying. I just think when you're saying, oh, he's a top, he could be, I guess what I start having conniptions when people say, oh, look at the numbers. This guy's clearly an MVP candidate. It's like, are you really? Are we watching the same game? Like, get out of here with this. That's when I start really having problems with it. But no, I agree with that. I think he can be an above average quarterback and certainly, you know, kind of take them, maybe guide them and be a game manager and do the things that they need to get done there. But look, if you could get Lamar, or hell, even if you can get Tom Brady, I think that's an upgrade at the quarterback position, and that would be a lot of fun.